book of Hebrews, chapter 8, verse 5, is the passage around which the lesson will revolve today. If you were choosing to title the lesson, you may title it, God is a pattern-minded God. God is a pattern-minded God. When Moses was about to build the tabernacle, Brother Mitchell, what is the tabernacle? The tabernacle was a tent-like movable structure built for the purpose of worshiping God. Passage will be read today where the Almighty God said to Moses, speaking about the tabernacle, there I will meet with you. So when the Almighty God commanded Moses, in fact, not just commanded Moses to build it, the Almighty God had given Moses a blueprint, a building plan, a pattern. And then, after instructing Moses, in the passage of Exodus chapter 25, and verse 40, the Almighty God said these words. I think it is Exodus 25 and verse 40.
And look that thou make them after their pattern.
Watch here now. Look. Watch it now. The Almighty God is encouraging Moses to take special note. Look, see to it that you make all the things you're commanded to make respecting the tabernacle, that you follow the blueprint I give you. See to it that you follow the plan that I give you. See to it that the pattern given to you by me is followed. Why is that so important? That concerns you and me. It concerns the church. It concerns Christianity. It concerns our eternal welfare. Hence, God warned Moses, see to it that you make it according to the pattern shown to thee. It is rightly said that this passage in Hebrews, taken from, yes, when the Hebrew writer wrote it, he was quoting from Exodus 25. And one writer said that this passage must be considered or be hailed as one of the most significant statements in the book of Hebrews. Now, he's not saying this is the only important or significant statement in Hebrews. What the writer is saying that this one, repeating the New Testament writer who wrote Hebrews, is taking it from Exodus 25, 40, The writer said that it is one of the most significant statements in the book of Hebrews. As I've said, it comes from God. Instruction to Moses not to be tempted to add anything to the blueprint that God gave him. Not to be tempted to subtract from the blueprint of the tabernacle that God gave him. That the Hebrew writer, guided by the Holy Spirit, to repeat this piece of instruction given to Moses, this is of utmost importance to us, that the Almighty God wanted it to be remembered and to be noted in the New Testament of Jesus Christ. Remember, the tabernacle was the center of worship to God under the Old Testament system. A point to be mindful of, to be kept in mind, that if God required Moses to proceed exactly according to the pattern God gave him, that would indicate to you and me that same carefulness in respect to God's pattern must be observed by us. That we be mindful to do things according to the pattern God has left us. We must. And as I get down into the lesson, we will understand better. Not only that, the second part of this lesson will get down into some other aspect. Theologians, religious leaders today, they get lost. They get bogged down, they get carried away in speculation about how did God communicate that pattern to Moses. You know, a lot of times, a professor in college many years ago said, a lot of time we scratch where it is not itching. And many theologians will take page upon pages speculating the many ways that is possible for God to have communicated the pattern, pass the pattern on to Moses. But watch here. That is not the emphasis in the text, in the passage of Exodus chapter 25 and verse 40. The Almighty God wasn't putting emphasis on how he passed on this pattern to Moses. The emphasis in the passage is that God did give Moses a pattern. That is it. To take time off and to waste time wondering, how did God do? Was it this way, that way? My God, if God wanted to know how he did it, he would have told you. We must be content and be satisfied with the far more important consideration that God gave a pattern and that it was to be strictly adhered to. Follow the pattern, because that is the message in both the Old and in the New Testament. God gave a pattern and he wanted it to be followed. In the religious world, there is a widespread delusion, deception, that there is no pattern. That's right. In the religious world, not just in Jamaica, throughout, men and women who claim they believe the Bible and that they believe in God and that they believe God should be served, so many of them believe that there is no pattern, there is no blueprint, there is no model that was divinely given. And that it makes no difference what we do religiously so long as you are sincere. If you sit within this audience and have that belief, we beg you, get from that belief as early as you can, because it leads to destruction. You know why? Because God does have a pattern. Next week I'll go in more detail in respect. He has a pattern for the plan of salvation. Mr. Mitchell, what do you mean? How does one become a Christian God's way? Not what you do to join a church. Wait. In most cases, what you're asked to do to join a church is completely different from what God placed here in the gospel that you are to do to get your sins forgiven. That is the important issue. So the business that there is no blueprint, there is no pattern, and that it does not make any difference what we do so long as we are sincere, that is a tragic belief that Satan has put in the head of men and women. But God's word to men and women, in both Old and New Testament, God's word gives us a totally different message as pertaining to pattern. In fact, what I'm setting out to do, because more detail as it relates to how does that pattern affect you and me will come up next week. But let me show you that God is a pattern-loving God, are a pattern-minded God. Wait. You see, it is part of the fact that God is a God of order. That's right. Look. First, the pattern-minded God. We have just looked at Exodus 25, verse 40. Let us look at 26:1-3. 26:1-3.
Moreover, Thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen and blue.
Wait. I want you to get this. Because, you know, many times, and it's just true, I have some knowledge of God like you, but many times I ask, why didn't God just tell him to have some curtain and fix it properly? I left it up to Moses to... No, here you have the very detail of the curtain. Are we all there? The Almighty God is telling how it must be done. Start again, brother.
Moreover,
you're at 26, verse 1.
Thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen,
mm-hmm.
and blue,
mm-hmm.
and purple,
uh-huh.
and scarlet.
You know, Carl Mitchell feels that all that could have been left up to Moses' discretion. But God didn't want that left up to Moses or Carl Mitchell's discretion. Wait. You know, I, again, members of the Lord's church, learn what you can. When we get to another place, I'm not even sure we'll get there today. Another case of a blueprint, a pattern. In this case, God wrote that with his own hand. And that involved David and his son Solomon. And when David was about to instruct Solomon, among the things he said, know the God of your father. What is your point, Brother Mitchell? So many times we are trying to serve a God whom we do not know. It's good for you to take time off to get to know God better. And this is not only to our visitors, it is also to members of the Lord's church. That day by day we can make that one of our goals and objectives for the next year. Let me take time off to get to know God better. You were in 26, I said, or 16.
26,
verse 1 through verse 3.
With cherubims of cunning work shalt thou make them. The length of one curtain shall be 8 and 20 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain.
Why didn't God leave all those trivialities to Moses to just work it out the way Moses see fit? No! That's the type of God. Wait. When the Almighty God is dealing with our spiritual need, God doesn't leave that up to us. That is the plan of it. And we need to get that. Read that. What verse are you?
Verse 2.
Read on.
And every one of the curtains shall have one measure. The five curtains shall be coupled together, one to another, and another five
curtains. You notice how detailed God is? That's a lesson to us. What I find, when we are planting our vegetables and our yam and potatoes, the Almighty God doesn't go in those details. He left that to some extent up to the common sense and intelligence he gave us. But you see, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, there are some things that are so important that God didn't leave it up to man. That's right. Our spiritual need. You have read verse 3.
The five curtains shall be coupled together, one to another, and other five curtains shall be coupled one to another.
Everybody heard that? Look at chapter 25, verse 8 and 9.
And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them.
Wait, you hear? That's the tabernacle, you know. Huh? Take up an offering from the Israelite, and let them make me. You see, the sanctuary is the tabernacle. Let them make me a sanctuary for what purpose?
That I may dwell among them.
That I may dwell among them. The tabernacle represents God's presence among the Israelite. That's why it was so important. You read verse 9?
According to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so.
Everybody get it? The very instrument of the tabernacle, the Almighty God, that pattern minded God gave them for Moses to get the expert among the Israelites to build these instruments. And it should be built according to the pattern God gave. Are we all there? Yes. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, let us move to another point. All what I'm doing now is showing that God is a pattern-minded God. The very important spiritual things, the Almighty God never leave that up to man. When we get into next week, how to become a Christian. I was about to, well, let me say it anyway. How to join the church. When we get to that point next week, we are going to show that God didn't leave that up to man. That's right. That's right. And we encourage our visiting friends among us to come and listen to the rest of this lesson. Wait. I'm not finished yet, you know. When I say, come and listen to this lesson, I'm still going on. But I'm telling you that part of this lesson will be left for next week, where you can learn some things that has relevance to you here and now. I'm also encouraging you to learn more about God, because so many men and women are trying to serve a God that they do not know anything about. You would have learned today when this lesson is completed, or this portion, that we are dealing with a God that loves to give a pattern or a blueprint so that we do not do things contrary to the way he wanted. So here is another case found in the book of 2 Kings chapter 16. It's about King Ahaz of Judah. A king that was easily impressed, easily influenced and drawn away. And God doesn't like that in his people. Men and women who are easily influenced. Chapter 16 of the book of 2 Kings, verse 1, 2, and 3.
In the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. 20 years old was Ahaz when he began to reign, and reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord his God, like David his father.
You know, fascinating. Throughout Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles, the Almighty God continued to use David as his example. So much that could be said about that. But here that Ahaz, who is now under consideration in the passage Chad is reading, the Almighty God is comparing his reign to that of David, and that Ahaz was a bad king. He fell far below the standard of respect for God's word that David showed. That was verse 1 or 2, brother.
In the verse 2.
Read on.
But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel.
The kings of Israel were all bad kings. They were, most of them, they were, remember, don't get confused, Israel, Judah. Brother Mitchell, isn't that the same Israelite? Yes. But the kingdom by now had been divided, and part was known as Israel and part as Judah. The part known as Judah was only two tribes, Judah and Benjamin. The other side was 10 tribes. Yes, pick up there again.
But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, mm-hmm, and made his son to pass through the fire.
Wait, Brother Mitchell, that's parable to me. Pass through the fire, was it winter? No. Pass through the fire is one way of telling you that they practiced idolatry, they worship idol. Wherever you read about in the Old Testament about people passing through the fire, it is telling you about idol worship. That was totally contrary to the will of God. Yet this king of Judah, Ahaz, caused his children to do that. Read on.
According to the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out.
Did you hear that? He brought practice in Israel that was according to the abomination of the heathen. That's the Gentile. That's what this king did. Now, brother, step down to verse 6 through verse 14.
At the time, Rezin, king of Syria, recovered Elath to Syria, mm-hmm, and drove the Jews from Elath. Mm-hmm. And the Syrians came to Elath and dwelt there unto this day.
That's right. The Syrian drove the Jews, the Israelites, from their own place. But we don't reach the point yet. Read on, brother.
So Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria.
Wait. The Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Ahaz is now trying to form a friendship with the Syrian king. Read on.
Saying, I am thy servant and thy son. Come up and save me out of the hand of the king of Syria and out of the hand of the king of Israel.
Instead of looking to God for help and protection, he was looking to the Gentile king. A lot of men and women who do not know God, when trials, sickness sometimes comes, challenges come, they turn to the obia man or the obia woman because they do not know God. They do not know the power of prayer. That's what Ahaz was here doing, turning to the Gentile king for help, because he had forsaken the pattern and the way God gave him. Read on, brother.
And Ahaz took the silver and gold that was found in the house of the Lord.
Everybody hear that? So far was this king of Israel supposed to be God's representative, that he took all the furniture in the tabernacle or in the temple and take them over to the Gentile. Read on.
That was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house and sent it for a present to the king of Assyria.
You don't get worse than that. Read on, brother.
And the king of Assyria hearkened unto him, for the king of Assyria went up against Damascus and took it and carried the people of it captive to Kir and slew Rezin. And King Ahaz went to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria.
Yes, watch here now, watch here now.
And saw an altar.
What he saw?
An altar.
I want you to get this, and Christians, get this, and believers, get this. We must be careful where we get our pattern from. Let me just put it in just practice. When we're looking for religious example, spiritual example, make sure that you look at the right place. And make sure you look among the right people. People who believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ and believe that Christ's teaching is the only example for us. Make sure, because here is a king visiting the Gentile king. Is he Syrian? Well, I think he's a Syrian. Yes, visiting the Gentile king, and he saw an altar. He was so impressed. Ladies and gentlemen, the Almighty God had already commanded his altar to be built from the time of Moses. That's right. From the time of Moses, God commanded Moses how the altar should be built. This man should not be running all over the place among men who do not know God and who have no respect for God's pattern. But that's exactly what he did. What happened to the altar, brother?
And King Ahaz sent to Urijah, the priest, the fashion of the altar and the pattern of it, according to all the workmanship thereof.
He was so impressed with the Gentile, the ungodly altar, that he immediately sent pattern of it to the priests in Israel. For the priests and the Levite in Israel to copy it and to make an altar just like it. That alone was contrary to God's will. You cannot abandon the pattern God has given you and take the pattern that comes from a man's imagination. That's what is being done by Ahaz here, but that is what is being done in the religious world today. May I? How does one become a Christian God's way today? In the Bible, it is spoken of as the righteousness of God in many places. When you read places like Romans chapter 10, verse 1 through verse 2. When it talks there about the righteousness of God, it's referring to the way God planned to make you and me righteous. And there is no other way to be made righteous. God has a plan. He has a pattern. Let us respect that pattern. So that was Ahaz, sent immediately that the Israeli priests and Levites copy the pattern of the altar. But here is yet another case of the God who love potter. But in this case, the Almighty God wrote the pattern of the temple that was given to Solomon. This is striking. Listen to the passage. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9 to verse 12. Let us notice this passage as we come down to the end of the lesson.
And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father.
Wait, I'd refer to this passage, just in passing. Ladies and gentlemen, David was at this time up in age. He was instructing his son, Solomon. The Almighty God had told David that Solomon should be the one succeeding him. All that I find quite striking and unusual. Remember, Solomon was the child that was born from David having killed Uriah's husband. kill Uriah's husband. And David had committed adultery with her. And after he had killed her husband at the battle, sent to Joab to send that man at the high point of the battle, he married her. Solomon was the child that was born to the farmer Uriah's wife. And that is the son that God told Solomon to make succeed him. But you know what? Wisdom tells us never question God, because God is always wise. So here we have now, David had planned to build a house to God. And the Almighty God told David that he was a bloody man. He had shed too much blood. And therefore God didn't want him to build the house. You know what David did? So as to have a part in that place that Solomon, his son, would build, David started to make provision for it. But do you know what? The Almighty God gave David a pattern different from the pattern that you and I have read in the book of Exodus chapter 25. Here is another pattern. In this one, the Almighty God wrote it with his hand. Listen.
And thou, Solomon, my son.
David is speaking to Solomon with thousands of Israelites gathered to hear the ceremony. Let us hear it, brother.
Know thou the God of thy father.
Know thou, that is, Solomon, get to know God. That's always important. Then and now, don't try to serve a God whom you have not gotten to know. Spend more time trying to understand and know God. Please. It helps. Read on, brother.
And serve him with a perfect heart,
uh-huh,
and with a willing mind.
Uh-huh.
For the Lord searcheth all hearts,
uh-huh,
and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts.
Uh-huh.
If thou seek him, he will be found of thee.
That's always. So when you seek God, God will make sure you find him if you are really seeking him to serve him. Read on.
But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever.
That's true. Read on.
Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong.
A house for the sanctuary means a house for the tabernacle. That's right. That is Solomon going to build the temple. And even the temple that Solomon going to build, God gave a pattern. Read, brother.
Then David gave to Solomon, his son, the pattern of the porch.
Wait, take time with that. Then gave Solomon, that is, David gave Solomon what?
The pattern of the porch.
The pattern of the porch.
And of the houses thereof.
The pattern of the houses thereof.
And of the treasuries.
And the pattern of the treasuries.
And of the upper chambers.
And the pattern of the upper chambers.
And of the inner parlors.
And of the inner parlors.
And of the place of the mercy seat.
And of the place of the mercy seat. All of this. The Almighty God gave a pattern. That is, he did not leave it up to David or to Solomon to go into their own brain or intellect to come up with a design. God gave them a pattern. That was verse 9 through what, brother?
Through 11.
Read verse 12 now.
And the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord.
And the pattern of all he has had by the
Spirit.
Spirit, which means he was inspired. That's how comes he had that pattern from. It was the Holy Spirit, one of the persons in the Godhead, that gave David that pattern. Step down to 18 and 19.
And for the altar of incense, refined gold by weight, and gold for the pattern of the chariot of the cherubims that spread out their wings and covered the ark of the covenant of the Lord. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon
me. The Lord made me understand in writing by his hand. Whose hand? God's hand upon him. People talk about, therefore it lasts forever. Well, this temple should last forever then. Because God wrote it and gave it to David for David to give it to Solomon. No doubt the temple built by Solomon was so beautiful. But as we wrap up, God as a pattern-minded God, it is pointed out that, in fact, this is by a man who for 35 years has studied a bird. In fact, he is from David Lipscomb College, one of the Church of Christ supported college. And he has studied birds and found out that among the tiniest bird that God made, there is found in the bird an invariable pattern that wherever you find the bird, there is a pattern in that bird. And the man's contemplation was, if the Almighty God can make a mere bird that you and I will kill a million of them and don't even realize any consideration. But God built them with a pattern. Each time you catch one, you can look at certain place on the bird for certain mark, and that's the way God has made all of them. Same thing with the working honey-making bees. The bees that make honey. It is pointed out by this same author that you never found one of these bees without the sting. Every honey-making bees this researcher has found always come with a sting. And the wonders for this scientist is the fact that if these small objects, the Almighty God can place, build them in way that there are pattern in all of them, then it is no marvel that the Almighty God give us a pattern in worship, in the plan of salvation, in how to live the Christian life. Because that's the way God is. As we close, we beg you to be mindful that we serve a pattern loving God. The Almighty God doesn't have a way for me to become a Christian and a different way for you to become a Christian. He doesn't have that. When you see we look around for the church that we like, you are in trouble already. Because that cannot work. Start looking around for the one for which the Almighty God has left a pattern. That will be the right church. When we come back next week, we'll pick up along that line. Right now, you can come today and leave learning that we are dealing with a pattern-minded God. The Almighty God going to give man a blueprint, a pattern, an example of what he wants. Christ is calling you now to the pattern of Christianity that Jesus Christ left here. Within a few seconds or minute, we are going to stand. If you are in the audience now and you are turning over in your mind about becoming a Christian, you know what? Let me remind you. You are going to become a Christian the way God has left it in his pattern. We're not going to come up with some invented modern way for you to become a Christian or join the church. It's going to be based on the plan of salvation spoken about in the Bible as God's righteousness. And it includes you hearing the gospel. Among the things you should hear is that Jesus Christ died at Calvary's cross for your sin. Becoming a Christian includes you must not only hear the gospel, you must believe the gospel. And among the things you must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But not only believe, when you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you are not yet a Christian. You must move on to repentance. The Bible says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. But when you repent, you are still not a Christian yet. Because God's pattern demands that after repent, you are willing to confess Christ's name. You must not be ashamed of Christ. Are you a Christian then? No. Having believed, repent, confess Christ's name, you must be baptized for the removal of your sin. In fact, let me share a little secret with you. I'm sharing it with you because I care for you. And the brother is looking up the song that he'll sing. You know what? Your sins can never be dealt with until you are baptized. Mr. Mitchell, will you learn that from God? Your sins, pray from now until thy kingdom come, all your past sin will be held against you. Because just mere praying does not remove sin unless you have already been born of the water and of the blood. You must be baptized to have God address your sin problem. Because Jesus Christ makes that a part of his plan. So we can stand now, because the brother is ready to come and sing a song that we refer to as the invitation song.